Hey everyone, welcome back to Seeking What They Sought, the podcast where we have conversations about the biblical basis for the beliefs and culture of the Adventist Church. I'm one of your hosts, Eric Edstrom, 12-time homeschool class president. This time around, we'll have a discussion on Sabbath, some of the bad explanations given to us for why it was important growing up, and how we've come to see it in a more healthy way over the years. Thanks again for listening, and welcome to the party.
Well, I don't know about you guys, but Sabbath was the thing I dreaded the most nearly every week growing up.
That's fair.
Yeah, it would. It would ebb and flow. It would depend on the Sabbath.
But see, if we're talking in a general sense, though, it was like every week, you know, you would get to Friday, and it was kind of like you're just looking forward to Saturday night. That's really what was happening.
It's true. Mm. Video games, TV, game night.
Very true.
I think it's easy to, I don't know, as a kid growing up, you're just selfish. Like, you just want to do things for yourself. And that was either video games or, you know, something just with friends at night, go play, go do something.
I remember that. We would go over to these friends of ours' houses that were like family friends, and we would all hang out, you know, have lunch and all that stuff. And I was probably one of the younger people. And there was a guy who was older. He had computers and stuff, and he had Age of Empires, which is like my favorite game when I was a
kid.
And I didn't have it at home at the time, and so we'd go over there, and I remember I would find out when sundown was from the bulletin.
Perfect.
And then so I would have that time, and I can still vividly remember.
This is before there was a the clock weather app.
Yeah, exactly. there was a clock on this guy's dresser, and so we'd sit, like I'd sit at his computer, like we'd be doing some like Sabbath, like some random Sabbath approved
nature like video
computer thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, where it's like, you know, you're not playing a game, but you're
Freddy the Fish.
And then I don't even know what that is.
It's nature based.
So, yeah. So that makes it okay. So I would look at the clock, and then as soon as it hit whatever sundown time was, like 4:59, you know, then I'd be like, "Hey, can we start Age of Empires?" And I remember that was the highlight of that day. Nearly every single time
was the end of it.
Absolutely, 4:59 or whatever sundown was. It's like that was the best part ever.
So yeah, brutal. I mean, it depended, like, if you had friends at church, if there were some days that your friends were not at church, it would just be a boring day. See, I'm gonna out Paul here, Paul McCormick, soon to be married Paul McCormick. We would sit in the pews, and we would tear open the bulletin, or not the bulletin, the tithe
envelopes
for the blank spots, and we just draw.
Oh, I did
like
that
comics. And
I did that all the time.
Yeah, we all did that.
that was like your drawing pad.
Exactly.
Growing up, you tear them open because like the inside where the money went was all blank.
Exactly. And then you grab a hymnal, so you have a hard surface to draw on.
But you couldn't grab a Bible because that's
no. It had to be a hymnal. That hymnals were
hymnal
okay.
Works.
Yeah, it's blasphemy.
Yeah.
So.
Yep.
I felt like I could talk a lot about different things for me growing up with Sabbath, but one thing was, I did actually look forward to going to church because I had certain like church friends, like I had school friends, but then I had like other church friends who didn't go to my school, and some of them were pretty cool, so I liked to hang with them. So we would all hang out, and like we had this hill behind our church, and we'd go up there, and we would just like pretend to be commanders of armies, fighting the enemy in quotes, whoever the enemy is, and we just like have like mock battles out behind the church. That was pretty fun.
Yeah. I feel like I've said this in another episode, but yeah, like on Sabbath, we would, not even me, I'm an only child, and I had a basketball hoop outside.
You just played basketball alone by yourself, Jesse?
Yeah, absolutely. It was, I actually loved being an only child, so you can just go away.
That's fair.
So I would go play basketball during the week, and it would be like the Seattle Supersonics, because I'm from Washington, and versus, you know, another team. And the score was always close at the very end of the game, you know, and then I'd dribble and I'd make the winning layup, you know. But it was always like, you know, 99 to 100, and then I'd make the winning shot, you know. Well, on Saturday, you know, I didn't want to
be competitive.
I didn't want to sin. So, you know, like I would play on the angel team versus the demons.
Yep.
Ooh.
And
nice.
The score could never be close. It was always like 3,000-0.
Oh yeah. You got to spiritualize it.
Just a complete That was my Sabbath activity when I was bored.
Was the angel side much bigger? Was the demon side only a third, and 2/3 was the like angel side?
Sean, get out of here with your biblical theology nonsense.
It wasn't that deep. Didn't go that far.
It's not even that deep.
That wasn't the war in heaven. It wasn't a shootout.
No, it wasn't the war in heaven. It was a basketball game.
We should make that with Eric. We should do a instead of like the Doug Bachelor War in Heaven, like lightsaber video that he did. We can do one where it wasn't a physical fight like that. They played a game of basketball.
That'd be that's
how God expelled the demons.
That'd be like, wow. Why am I forgetting the name of like the Michael Jordan Looney Tunes crossover?
Space Jam.
Yeah. It'd be like Space Jam. I feel ashamed that I forgot the name of Space Jam, but that'd be like Space Jam. That's fantastic.
Now, it's funny because I got all these funny stories, but at the same time, I think it's interesting to ask the question of like, why was it like that? Cause like, I know if we all relate this much on it, I am sure that there are a bunch of other people who feel the same way. And I guess it just makes me sit here and be like, what, how did it get there? How did it get to the point where Sabbath wasn't fun? And you know, where you're just sitting there trying to be as legalistic, you know, as possible in your thinking. You don't think you're being that, but you get to this point where Sabbath isn't a joy. It's not fun.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. How did it get there?
Yeah. It's definitely interesting to look at. I think from my family's perspective, I don't know that fun was necessarily the thing that was the focus of my parents going into like, this is how we're going to do Sabbath together. I don't know that fun would have been on, if they had created a list, you know, of like top three things. I don't know if that would have been on the top. I think maybe to them, I should probably ask them, but you know, more important things would be like family, like sacred, and like a tradition, like,
yeah.
And there's just some holiness around that. Like, cause my family had a whole production. Or I don't know if you guys had this. My family had a whole like production around Sabbath. Like we would like the Friday night before we would set all the shoes out. My mom made a huge, like she would make meals. She would like prepare food for Sabbath ahead of time. She would like, we cleaned the whole house. Like we washed the car. Like it was a whole like thing. And, I kind of like, and my mom always like wanted to say like, as if to signal, like this is an important day. So I don't know that fun was necessarily the goal. At least for me.
Yeah.
That,
And that's a good point, but like it went from solemn to almost oppressive for many of us. Right. Like
yeah,
how did it get there?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I think it depends. I mean, it sounds like we all relate on a certain level. I think, I don't know. Anthony, do we talk about this? I already forget with Pat, like as PKs.
Yeah.
I mean, going to church is a different mindset. Like you tend to be the last to leave. Like there's always that conversation. You're waiting for your dad to finish. And you're just sitting like on a pew or just like at the church and you're just like, like it's just boring. Like Sabbath could be so boring.
It's very true.
And, like, you know, once in a while you went and did like a hike or did something with a church that was, you know, whatever, fun. You go to do a picnic out in the, but that was not every Sabbath. Like there were Sabbaths where you just go home, everyone's tired. So they go to sleep, but you can't.
Right. That was the worst.
The Sabbath afternoon when nap time.
When
Sabbath
you afternoon, would get you just home sit there after church, your parents would be like, we're going to take a nap.
Right.
And so then true. You're just stuck there. What do I do?
Just play with your Legos and pretend that they're the angels and demons.
Exactly. Apparently, like I distinctly remember walking to my living room one time after coming in from outside and my dad's just like out on the couch.
Out.
And I'm like, so this is what we're doing today?
So the ironic part is like, as a kid, I hated that, but literally now that's all I want to do.
No, I totally get it. I absolutely get it. No, yeah.
So it's interesting because, you know, I always wanted to do sports on Sabbath, and I grew up playing baseball, and I hated that I can never participate in different tournaments or big events, and that just sucked. I hated that. Like, I wanted to do those, you know, things, and I still had a team during the summer that we'd play on and whatever, but there were other things that I wanted to do, but it just...
If it makes you feel better, though, Sean, it saved you from the disappointment of never making it.
Ooh. Just so deliciously savage.
I think there's still promise. There's still some pep in my...
Pep in your step?
I still have spry bones. Nope.
Sean, you're 28. You're washed up, man.
Not in baseball. In tennis, you retire at 30, but baseball, you can go till 55 if you're Ichiro.
Anyways, I totally interrupted you. You were talking about sports and Sabbath.
No, but I mean, we all have felt that, I don't know. I went through times where I dreaded Sabbath or just didn't, it was the most boring day of the week, or I didn't look forward to it or whatever it may be. Here's the thing. I would try to bring up shouldn't we have fun? I'd try to bring it up. Shouldn't we have fun on Sabbath, or shouldn't we be able to just do it? Makes us happy, whatever. Right. And a verse that would be given to me is, in Isaiah, which is, it's Isaiah 58:13.
Mm-hmm.
And, I'm actually looking through the translations. Here we go. I'm do the NLT one. Keep the Sabbath day holy. Don't pursue your own interests on that day. Mm-hmm. But enjoy the Sabbath and speak of it with delight as the Lord's holy day. Honor the Sabbath and everything you do on that day, and don't follow your own desires or talk idly.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I would be given that, that's why you can't play video games or play sports with friends or, I don't know. Yeah, just go do what you
Which
want.
Which is hilarious because the context of Isaiah is people who have been deeply sinful, I don't just mean sinful in an arbitrary way. I mean, they are people who are screwing over their own neighbors, who hate justice, who don't take care of the poor and all that stuff.
They've
and
abandoned
so,
God. Yeah.
Yeah. So this is talking about Sabbath is Isaiah in essence referencing that they need to step away from these types of things. It's not talking about don't go have fun. Mm-hmm. It's in essence saying stop following your own desires, you know, because your own desires have led you to such terrible things.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's, you know, it's a warning to people who are already super far down this horrible road.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, it was hard for me to at least listen to that quote. Now the funny thing is now I, in general, I agree that it shouldn't just be a day you just veg out on your couch, you know, just eat junk and binge Netflix. That's great Sabbath, you know, that's resting on the Sabbath. But
right.
Happy Sabbath, guys.
Oh, wait, there's no one around me. It's just me.
It's just me. Just me and my spicy nacho Doritos.
You know, I mean, and I think we've talked about before, it doesn't, you know, it doesn't say you have to go to church on the Sabbath, right? Jesus, it was his custom to go to the synagogue and, but I would say that, you know, I think it is important to a certain level that Sabbath is meant to be a disruption in your life. It's meant to, take you away from just the busyness of life. And sometimes that also means slowing down to actually really think about, you know, where you're at with God. Renew your relationship with him, your family, with community, your church community. Because, you know, life is extremely busy, and especially as you get older. So I think that's where it's weird. When you were a kid, you weren't busy. Did you really need Sabbath when you were seven? I guess so. We needed it, but I still don't know. You know, I think about my son as he grows up, how do we make Sabbath special, but also not just, you know, it's not just meant to be selfish, oh, you get to do whatever you want on this day. But what would you guys say is the most important thing about Sabbath? When you look biblically, what is it meant to be when it comes to practice?
Ooh, that's a big question. Multi-layered. I think it's important to note, because I want to talk about that, Sean, and answer that question. But before we circle around, I think it's important to note that I think like kind of how you brought this up, Jesse, I think there is a unique, I think there is a unique shared common experience in many Adventists of in our generation who felt like Sabbath was oppressive growing up and not necessarily something to look forward to or something that was full of joy or something that was life-giving, but instead it was something that seemed to steal joy from life, something that seemed to be oppressive, legalistic, and I mean, we're talking about bad explanations. We've already talked about some of that a little bit, but like the verse that Sean mentioned, but I think so much of it, at least for me growing up, and again, I feel like I always have to disclaim like that I love my parents so much and they're the best. And yeah, I think they did an amazing job raising me and my siblings, but they're human just like anyone else, right? So I think for me growing up, I definitely did feel this common experience of, I don't know that there was necessarily the best, most like well thought out, life-giving theological background to a lot of the decisions that I was being told, and not even just my parents, but also like teachers at school, like people at church. There wasn't always like the best. It was always like half-baked fundamentalist principles, and once you think them out all the way through, you're just like, wait a minute, that doesn't make sense. You know, like kind of like what we just talked about with that verse. It's like you can proof text it, but when you zoom out and you read the whole context, you're like, oh, you know. So I think that's important to acknowledge that like a lot of us felt a similar thing growing up, and I definitely think there is a better way, which I guess kind of circles back. I guess I'm just prefacing what you just said, Sean, in a long-winded way, but I feel like it's important to note.
Well, I think part of what I want to say too, Sean, before we answer like the practical part, is the background that I've seen scripturally for Sabbath, because it's interesting that, you know, in Genesis 2, the very first part of Genesis 2, says that God rests on the Sabbath. But what's interesting is you don't see it at all again, ever mentioned between Genesis 2 and Exodus. And I think it's Exodus, is it 16 or 19? In essence, I think it's Exodus 16.
Yeah.
It's reinstated, or maybe not even reinstated. Maybe it's instated for the first time. It depends on how you look at what's happening in Genesis 2, because Genesis may have been written during the Exodus, or during Moses' time, or written by Moses. So, you know, he's going back and looking at the 7-day week that God instituted and saying, this is why.
Mm-hmm.
But whatever is happening is it's not talked about between Genesis 2 and Exodus 16, and the context for it being instated is the Exodus from Egypt, right, where they've been in slavery 24/7, like every day of the year for the last several hundred years. And it's interesting because if we think about why God might put this into their lives, it's from this, you've now been freed, but our tendency as humans is to go straight back to slavery, but not even slavery in Egypt, but slavery to our work and to survival and to what I need to get done in order to make sure that I can, you know, live the life that I want to live. And so that's why he says, no, you're going to have a hard stop on a day where you don't engage in any of that. And in fact, you know, the rules in Exodus 16 are even crazier than, you know, what God calls them to in Isaiah or later on, because in essence, God is trying to teach them this thing they've never experienced before. And so that's the interesting thing to me when I look at it all, because I'm like, that's where it started. And yeah, it was super strict when it started.
Yeah.
If you go back and look at it in Exodus 16, even Exodus 20 and beyond, it's pretty strict, but over time it changes. And then you get to Jesus, who seems to treat it quite differently than that. Mm-hmm. So just to set that tone, because I think it's important when we talk about the practical, like what is Sabbath supposed to practically be? Like we have to understand where it came from.
Yeah.
And then, you know, and it definitely got super messed up over time.
Well, that's where if I can interject, that's where I feel like, I guess that's what I'm talking about when I talk about like half-baked principles or like just like proof texting and like kind of like, so when I say half-baked principles, I mean like, the Sabbath is holy, so like don't do what you want. The Sabbath, like like we're supposed to honor God, so that means you can only do these specific things that who knows who decided what the okay list of things were to do. It's usually cultural, looking back at on it now as an adult. But there was never much thought given to, like, exactly what you're saying, Jesse, like, the Sabbath is a way to fight the oppression that we naturally find ourselves in, that we just fall into the routine of slavery to work, slavery to time, slavery, even slavery to pleasure, like pursuing my own pleasure. I become a slave to that when I'm just seeking that. And like, that was never explained to me. And at a certain level, and we've talked about this with every bad explanations, like when you're growing up, some things you're just not ready to hear yet.
Yeah. Right.
Like, yeah. You're just, when you're like Sean said, when you're seven, you're not ready to hear, like, you're a slave to your own time. You're just like, what does that mean?
Yeah. What does that even mean?
I just want to go play with mud. But yeah, I feel like, and we've talked about this before too, how like, oftentimes for us growing up, we were given like the easy explanation, but then no one ever gave us the more robust, like
the actual good one.
Yeah. The good one later on, as we were like growing up, no one ever said,
well, that's the funny thing is, at least in my experience, some of the best explanations I've heard on Sabbath have been non-Adventist.
100%.
Like some of the biggest influencers on my view on what Sabbath should be in my life, for my family, why it's important, have been from those that aren't focusing on the day, but what it's supposed to be.
Why is that, Sean?
Wait, wait, hold on. Before we get to the, because I know a few of the guys you're talking about, but like, it's interesting because you just referenced, it's not really about the day, and yet that's what we grew up in. Is it entirely was about the day?
Very true.
And I think it's important that we look back at that, because it got there for a reason, and it's caused damage to many of us that we feel deep inside of us and may talk about, but don't really understand why it got there. If that makes sense. And like, I guess just to point out that like the whole day thing, that it comes from a mindset of, I don't know, in essence, that God needs me to do these things, not so that they are beneficial for me, but so that I am acceptable to God.
Right. It's a workspace system.
Yeah, but yes, because that wording, what you've just said, is totally correct. But I think it gets so intermixed in someone's mind as we get to there, because what it starts off as for many people is this genuine desire to, I want to follow God as well as I can.
That's true. Yeah.
Well, the next generation picks that up as, this is what I have to do to follow God. The generation after that, this is a terrible example, but back in college, I did a psych minor, and I remember one of the classes we learned about this experiment they did, where there was a bunch of monkeys in a room, there was like a banana on top of a ladder or something like that. They had to climb a ladder to get there. And whenever they would try, they would spray the monkeys with cold water. And it wasn't just the one, it was all of them. And so over time, the monkeys say, no, don't go up there, to all of the ones there. But then they slowly replaced one by one all of the original ones. And at a certain point, they weren't spraying them with water anymore. The monkeys would still pull each other down.
Right.
But they didn't know why they were doing it. They just were, they would just do it.
Yeah.
Instinct. And I think it's similar, that over time, the natural human tendency is to say, this is what I must do.
Yeah.
Right.
And then if you just do a really cursory reading of scripture without really understanding the whole arc of scripture, then you see the verses. It's so clear. Do this on Saturday. You have to treat it this way. This must be the way that it is done. And then naturally, we have to fill in for the things the Bible doesn't say. So when it says, don't work, and your servant shouldn't work, you shouldn't buy food on Sabbath, you shouldn't buy or sell anything on Sabbath, you know, those things are easy. But then, you know, then we have like the different things, like what happens for doctors? Well, that's acceptable because they're helping people, right? What about police officers? Well, that's acceptable because they're keeping the community safe. Like, those things are acceptable, but sports isn't acceptable. Or we talk about how much you can swim, how far in the water you can get. All of those things seem to come out of a desire to be faithful to God, but really what it is at its core is not being faithful to God. It's being acceptable to God for my own,
yeah,
my own benefit.
Yeah, yeah.
Well,
yeah.
And it almost circles back around to what happened during Jesus' time and what he rejected as Sabbath practice.
Yeah.
Which was just super works-based, you know, what the Pharisees would do with Sabbath. And, you know, they got so mad at him, obviously, for healing on the Sabbath and what he thought of it to be when, you know, and it got to the point where they would try to find loopholes around certain laws, right? So like, yeah, you could only walk so many steps, you couldn't heal on the Sabbath. So like, if you had a sore tooth, but you could eat on the Sabbath, so they would soak bread and vinegar and soak their tooth, mm-hmm, with that, so that would heal it, but you were eating, so that would be like a loophole for not like healing on the Sabbath.
Do you know about the sorry, I cut you off, Sean, about the tree loophole? Like a tree is your home. So you can only walk certain steps unless it was your home, and then it resets. So
they, I forgot about that one.
I don't think it was trees. I think it was eating.
Was it eating?
Wherever you would eat, you could consider a home. And so,
oh, okay, yeah, yeah.
They would pre-plant.
You would pre-plant meals.
Before. Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
Pre-plant meals every certain amount of steps because that number of steps was too much work.
Right.
But then if you were at home, because actually what it was is you couldn't go a certain number of steps from your home.
Right.
In
right.
essence, it's yeah. that rough thing where it's like if you go 600 steps from your home, you know, but you can only go 1,200 in the day. Well, right. you can't go any further. And if you go any further, you know, you're stuck 100 steps from your home. Either, you know, God is angry at you and mad at you and you broke the Sabbath and you're exactly. a sinner, you know, or you go home.
Right. Go
or you stay there and you, you know, that's if you go home as you're a sinner. But if you just stay there, if you stand there,
right.
you know, then I guess you're acceptable.
Yeah, but I guess my argument is if you're at the point where you're even having that conversation or debate, like you've lost the focus, like yeah. you're even like, oh, can I do this or that? Like you're just kind of like, you're in the wrong mindset of what it's supposed to be.
Why? And I think that's what I'm trying to point out is like, that's yeah. what we've been so damaged by, that it's not actually, and I think this is important to point out, that we haven't actually been damaged by Sabbath.
Yeah.
We've been damaged by a terrible other thing, which is self-righteousness. And I wouldn't want to say that people are bad for doing that. Some of us grew up being taught that and just learned religion like that, but we carried it on and it was bad. And I think it's important to make that distinction because some people completely reject the idea of Saturday as Sabbath or just reject the idea of Sabbath in general because it was so harmful. Whereas I think we need to recognize it wasn't the day, it wasn't what God called us to, it was something else,
yeah,
which was people who had such an unhealthy and horrible. And I know that may seem obvious to us, but yeah. I just feel like that's a distinction we have to make in order to move forward and say, oh yeah, no, Sabbath is healthy and good.
Well, I feel like to double down on that a sec, I think 100%, like even if we look back to our historical roots, like Adventism is a movement in part that came about because a small group of people came together and said, we feel like God is calling us back to certain biblical truths and we just want to follow God faithfully. Right. And I feel like there's something, I mean, we named our podcast Seeking What They Sought for a reason, because I think there is something, I think there's something inherently, I think, lofty and like to be looked towards about like just wanting to seek the scriptures and like, is my life in line with the scriptures? I think none of us are knocking that. And I think, and you know, Sabbath was one of the things that came out of that conviction originally from the original group, right? Of pioneers who were like, we feel like God is calling us to these missing biblical truths that like the church has missed somehow, you know? So I don't think any of us are knocking, like kind of doubling down on what you said, like actually Sabbath or that conviction or wanting to carry out that conviction, but it just the practice of it, you know?
Right. And you have to look at the product. So how do people, like both inside our church, just the average person, you know, cause we, you know, any church leader could argue, oh no, we don't, that's a superficial look of the Sabbath. Oh, the debate of what you should and shouldn't do. And the fact that it's gotten to that point, but you can say that all you want, but if people believe that or perceive it that way, then there's something wrong with yeah. the way we're talking about it or living it in our churches and our communities, the way we've preached it, from pulpits. So, I mean, like it's to the point, I mean, if you just look at a worldwide perception of Sabbath or the way that Adventists do it, I mean, there's a mix of positive, right? You have the whole Blue Zones thing where people mm-hmm. look at Adventists as living longer. And that's been attributed to both health and taking Sabbath. Like that's been written about in best-selling mm-hmm. book. It's been publicized a lot. But on the flip side, then you've got like, I mean, this is, there's a Family Guy clip from years back that is literally on Seventh-day Adventists.
Yeah, I remember
and it's
that.
Like a joke. Like it's the whole point is like, there's two guys that one's a Sunday keeper and then the other's an Adventist. Like, well, I keep the, you know, I also go to church, but I go to church on Saturday. And the guy that's listening to them just flips out and goes crazy. Like, what? That's crazy different.
Yeah. His ears get big and he flaps away.
Oh, right. Like Dumbo.
He flies away by flapping his ears.
So,
typical
but,
Family Guy
such
nonsense.
A great
yeah. So it's like poking fun at like this is the same thing. And it's like poking fun at denominations. Like there's so many denominations that believe or practice slightly different things. And most Adventists would argue, oh no, that's not just one of those slightly different things. Like this is one of our foundational beliefs. And in the end times, it's going to be a defining marker for the remnant church. And
he brought the end times into it.
And he used the R word. He used the R word.
Well, it has to go there eventually. It has to go there eventually. Because it's tied to that.
Isn't that the natural result of that way of thinking of self-righteousness in essence? And here's the thing that I hate about it. Is that it weirdly makes so much sense, especially if you just kind of read through and you pick and choose verses in scripture. Mm-hmm. And I want to be careful because I don't think that there are people, I think there are a lot of people out there who have no malicious intent, just end up there because it's the easiest way to think about things. If I do good, mm-hmm. I am rewarded.
Yeah.
That's the easiest way to think about life. That's what we almost feel deep. You know, I don't deserve this in my life. I've done so many good things. Like I'm a good person. Why do I have this happen to me? That's the easiest thing to think of.
Yeah.
So it naturally then extends to Sabbath, where now we are thinking of, if we were to take that verse in Revelation, which talks about the remnant church is the people that keep the commandments of God.
Right.
And then we go straight back to, well, look at us, Seventh-day Adventists keeping the fourth commandment. Look at that.
Yeah.
You know, all
that's
of a sudden
how, that's
it's
how
so
Sister
easy.
White said it.
Is it exactly
that that's how she
with the exact
people.
Intonation
that, yep,
all
that intonation
of that.
Yep
and James was like hun I've never
yeah well the and that's what's scary about it is that's it's so easy to get to that point where we're obviously the best and that's what I mean by acknowledging the mindset as opposed to the belief systems or the actual beliefs themselves because as we get into the practical as we get into what God intended the Sabbath is so good.
Right.
And I don't mean this from an Adventist perspective. From like, if we were to separate Sabbath from Adventism, it's just a good thing.
So good.
And as soon as we connect it to Adventists, it starts to become a problem. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And that's scary. And then it becomes an end time eschatology where all of a sudden people will
it becomes a test. It becomes a way for us to say who's in, who's out.
Who's in and who's out.
Yeah.
And that's scary in and of itself.
Super scary.
And so, and I think when we look at the whole end time thing, that's what makes it even more intense for us kids growing up in it, because this isn't just about do a good thing. This has your forever,
fate.
What's the word?
Fate. Destination.
Fate. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. In how you act on this day. And that puts a ton more pressure on it.
Yeah.
And again, I think we just have to acknowledge that the end time eschatology adds the pressure to the day and makes it into something much more intense than I think it was ever meant to be.
So here's my battle too. Like, you know, that could almost be a whole other episode of just like looking in a detailed way at like the
eschatology.
History of the, looking at like Sabbath, why it became that in our church.
Oh yeah.
How it connects mm-hmm. to remnant, how it connects to just like a lot of our unique doctrines in the Adventist church.
Yeah. For sure.
And I think that could be a whole other subject, right? That I don't think we want to use time really to go in depth here right now. I think what we're doing is reflecting on just how does it look mm-hmm. and how does it reflect? How do we feel about it? You know, maybe, and in general, I would say like the perception of, and I'm sure it varies everywhere, but the perception of Adventism is it's very legalistic the way we view Sabbath.
Yeah.
And I know that many of us grew up feeling that way until we kind of allowed our faith to become our own. And through that process, I think at least for me, Sabbath became much more personal. And I had to explore that on my own and also with others, that we wanted it to be more than just do this or don't do that. Right. So, and it became beautiful, and it's supposed to be a day of restoration. It's supposed to be a day that connects you, reconnects you with God, that it's, and so, yeah, it's just, that didn't really become real to me until maybe late high school and then into college, where it really became real, and it's become more and more real. I think I'm even right now, I'm continuing to study it, like, just to see for me where I'm at.
Go
for it, Ann.
I wanted to ask you, because you mentioned earlier that some of the voices that have been helpful to you in, like, reframing Sabbath for your own personal faith have not been Adventist. And I wondered, why do you think that is?
Well, they're not burdened by, I don't know, maybe certain concepts, or they're not distracted by them. And here's the thing. I still, if I'm just talking about my own personal path on what I believe, I'm still, for me, the jury's still out on fully understanding the way that we talk about end time eschatology, where, like, as an Adventist church, what do we truly believe?
Yeah.
And what is that rooted in? Is it biblical? Is it taking big leaps of logic to get to those spots? Or do I just, have I just not studied it enough, really studied it enough to understand? And I think there's a mix, because there's been pieces where I have heard and read and, like, oh yeah, this, like, Sabbath matters. I don't think it is just something God wants to be a little side piece. You know, I think it is something that is significant. But the crazy part is Adventists, it's not just Adventists that believe that anymore. Like, you see a big movement.
Sabbath is trendy.
Evangelical
right now.
Church, that Sabbath, you know, you see it on the Bible Project has been doing that. And we've been seeing books being written, more and more books being written on just slowing down, learning to go back to a biblical Sabbath concept. And a lot of them have had really beautiful things to say. Now, they all obviously fall short of what the Adventist teaching on, like, you have to keep this day to truly keep Sabbath holy. It might just be my, you know, just growing up with an Adventist lens, but I do, if I'm just being outright, I do believe that God wants us to keep the Sabbath. I do still believe that.
And by that, you mean the seventh day of the week.
Yeah, I do. I do believe that he set that up as a rhythm for us, for humanity. Mm-hmm. And the idea of choosing our own Sabbath conflicts with the general principle of what Sabbath is supposed to be. It's meant to be a disruption that God created. It's not meant for me to pick what's convenient for me to be my Sabbath. I think that directly conflicts with what Sabbath is supposed to be. And some of that, even that understanding, came from non-Adventist speakers and authors talking about how Sabbath is meant to be a disruption. It's meant to be at times inconvenient. Rest, to actually rest, you have to work and be intentional to truly rest.
That's such a
it's
good
not always,
sentence.
And if I'm even flipping on its head the Isaiah quote I gave before, I don't think it's always meant to be a delight in the sense of, like, just hedonistic pleasure,
pure,
you know, like,
pure
just
ice
about
cream
me,
Sunday.
Right? Because Jesus, he focused on others, and true, you know, like, true joy is not just pursuing everything I want, but finding that deeper meaning and restoration. And I think that Sabbath, that's what Sabbath is supposed to be. And so I think that actually lines up with God creating a set time and rhythm for that. And I think it, yeah, I just think in practice, to truly set up that rhythm, God already set it up. Picking a Tuesday or a Thursday, like, in practice, I don't think I've seen it fully honored. And I've, even the authors I speak of, they've even mentioned, like, oh yeah, there's times we took off Sabbath for certain seasons of life. Yeah. And got burnt out on things. And that brought up, like, in my head, I'm like, well, why didn't you just keep the Sabbath then? Like, just keep that disruption there. If that you're proving my point.
Here's the thing though. If we're talking about Sabbath, like, we're talking about day, Saturday.
Yeah.
It's clear in Genesis 2 that the seventh day would be, you know, the seventh day, which calendar wise is obviously Saturday.
Yeah.
Right. But the reason that it's Saturday is because we have a calendar that's built from, you know, Julius Caesar changed the calendar back when he was emperor, and that's where we get the calendar we have today. Like, that's why it's Saturday.
Yeah.
If that makes sense. And we could get pretty quick into, well,
the semantics
you have to do Saturday on Saturday. You have to do Sabbath on Saturday. And I know you're not saying that, Sean. I guess my point is that, sorry, and there's another addition to this, which is that it's one thing, especially when it's a command to the Jewish people, who as a nation and a community and a group of people who are same ethnicity, same, in essence, same extended family, who are built on this, that they would all keep it on the same day because they're one culture, one nation, one et cetera, right? When we come to our modern day, the problem is we're not. You know, we're not that. And we do have people, we have nurses who work, you know, like what is it, 12 on, 12, or like 12 hour shifts. Right. They do that for 4 days and then they're off for six, or I don't even remember what the schedules are specific, but like that messes with stuff. I get a couple of guys in my church who are police officers who work the night shift. So they are asleep for most of Saturday, you know. Mm-hmm. They don't really come to church as often as they'd like. Doctors, first responders, all of these people who, how do you keep Sabbath that way? Like, what do you do? Especially when that's the format. I mean, do you just not do the thing? And I guess maybe this is a bigger question, is do you not do the thing that you're built and called to do simply because the scheduling and the way it works is that way?
Would that not be the traditional Adventist response?
And it is.
I think it would. Yeah, it is. It's
but,
like, well,
but it, to separate it from the traditional Adventist response to the biblical idea.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. And that's the thing, Sean, is I actually don't disagree with you. But I guess the real world practical application of that is easy when you work a Monday to Friday, when you're a pastor, you know, when you are self-employed, those are different things, but it's a completely different thing when the nature of your job or your role or whatever has to be done, you know, every day of the week type of thing. And so I'm not even arguing with you. I do think Saturday is obviously the best in the rhythm of the way it works. I've experienced that. But it's just harder in practice than I think others would make it seem.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a lot of nuances that, and just cultural things today that make it a complicated conversation. I think even then, like, if you go so deep into the thickets of that, just like the practice of it and that, on that level, I think you still lose the point of Sabbath. And I think I think if we're starting from the plane, like the mindset that, Sabbath matters, Saturday Sabbath matters, God said that there. I guess in the Adventist response, I've heard a couple. Number one, if your job isn't important, I guess you would say, like a doctor or a nurse, officer. Someone that's doing, you know, an officer, whatever it may be, law enforcement. You like God will work it out for you. Like I remember my parents got me this book called The Koufax Dilemma.
Wow.
It's on Sandy Koufax, a pitcher for the Dodgers back in 50s, 60s. Really good pitcher, Hall of Fame pitcher. He was Jewish and he wouldn't pitch on Saturdays, and how he still was a successful baseball player even then. Or, you know, like you hear those stories, right? Like, oh, I didn't do my work on Sabbath. I didn't go in. Like there's always
there's tons of miracle stories surrounding that too. Like you can't deny it. Like we just heard a story from a guy who was in Soviet Russia. He grew up there. He's a pastor now here in Washington. And he told a story about how he got drafted in the army and said, I'm not going to do anything on Saturday, and how it worked out for him. Like he could have gotten sent to like Siberia to work in like the camps out there. But instead God works. So there, it's not that God doesn't care about the day. I mean, obviously God works it out. That's the interesting thing is that, I mean, do we claim that for people who in essence do have to work on those days, that their job would require them to do so? Is it less faith? You know, should they quit and not be that thing in order to be able to keep Sabbath? Is that more important than the idea of God made you to be a doctor? I'm not really arguing, you know, with intensity, just kind of like the logic of it is hard to wrap my head around.
Yeah. I mean, it's not, I don't think there is a straightforward answer. It's a super gray concept to me, at least when I look at that. Like if we're just talking like those jobs that need to happen, right? Like obviously Jesus wouldn't want doctors to quit on Sabbath, right? Like, oh, it's yeah, he'll take care of all of them. That, like, all those people will magically be fine. It's like, well, if Jesus believed that...
We have a gunshot victim. Well, sorry, can't do anything till tomorrow.
I mean, it's like, if Jesus believed that, why would he heal on the Sabbath? Why would he help people?
Well,
oh, I can help them tomorrow. They'll be there tomorrow.
That is why I think, you know, we have Adventist employees who work in hospitals on Sabbath, etc., because we're interpreting through Jesus, right? Which is, he says, it's lawful to do good on the Sabbath. So I think that that's where a lot of the justification...
But what is good?
That, yikes.
I guess
that's,
actually, but like that's
a great question.
That's the thing, is because I actually, like I said, John, I agree with you that it makes the most sense, especially like cyclically, that that Saturday would be a day. And especially, I think it's better when you keep it in community. Like when you do Sabbath in community with others. If you do it by yourself, it's so much harder to do it than it is to do it with others who have the same mindset. Yeah. So first and foremost, that. But it gets complicated because, I mean, what do you say to the person who their weekend is Wednesday, Thursday? What do you do with that person?
Well, like, so that's, again, and I see the point of that. But again, I think Sabbath is so much deeper than a superficial level of physical rest, right? Like, yeah, take your days off. Like, you need to rest. You need to do what you need to do. But Sabbath is not just physical rest. Like, that's a component of it. But it's much more holistic. And so I think you can go into work. And I think here's what if I'm getting to the point, Jesse, it's, you know, the whole Sabbath was made for man, right? And I think the idea is then it becomes individual. Like, the problem with our church then is when we make general and maybe just cultural, maybe it's not official doctrine, but like cultural assertions of what you should and shouldn't do on Sabbath. And it's got to be so much more individualistic. I think it's got to come down to the person. And in some ways that's freeing. In other ways that makes you really think about, well, like, are there certain things that just aren't life-giving for me on this day? Are there things that God would want me to do? And if I've got the talents and abilities to heal and help people on this day, whether it's something I do Monday through Friday or not, then this is something that God has called me to do.
So let's just bring up this real quick. So sports, right? You already brought that up. There's a guy in, he plays for one of the biggest teams in Germany, Bayern Munich. And
I'm assuming this is soccer.
What's that?
I'm assuming this is soccer.
Yeah. Okay. Sorry.
It's not cricket. I was assuming that. Cricket.
Soccer's the only good sport.
I just know you, so I was like.
His name is David Alaba. And at least, I don't know if he's still Adventist, but he grew up Adventist. And it's interesting because I would love to know, for someone like that, whether it's better to say, I have to keep Saturday Sabbath so I can't play games, which is most of the games that are played in soccer are played on Saturday. Or if you say, no, I'm going to play, and the influence and the platform that God gives me through this, that I can make an impact in the world through, is incredible. And I'm going to do Sabbath on Friday. Like, you know, what do you do with that? And again, this isn't in a legalistic tone. This is in, you know, do we encourage people to do that? Or are we kind of saying, like, you know, it's really best if you just keep it on Saturday? Because then, in essence, you come to that place where it's like, because the reason I bring up sports is because I get what you're saying. You know, you can go into work for things that are good, but, you know, what is good?
So, again, I think it comes to, well, yeah, and I think it.
Philosophy.
Yeah, I think, again, I think it comes down to the heart. And so, like, again, it makes it feel more gray than we want. So the easier response for our little kids to have a cookie cutter, like, yeah, keep the Sabbath, right? It just makes it simpler. and to explore that, it's like, well, what's the heart really after? Is it like, oh, well, is it about money? So like, oh, if you don't play on Sabbath, is it like you say up front, like, oh no, I do still honor the Sabbath. It's, and this is going to be a good, you're like, you're trying to justify it, right? To make it fit make your own theology out of the Bible. So again, but the problem is the heart. So maybe he does genuinely want to follow God and he does feel convicted for that. So that's the problem, is the difference between conviction to do something, you know, in a specific setting versus corrupting what God wanted as the ideal and what he wanted originally for your life. And so it's kind of hard to read. And that's not just with the issue of Sabbath. You can play that game all over the the Bible, and it can make it tricky to think about, but it comes down to the heart, right? So if I'm trying to justify something on Sabbath because it's for me, right? And that's all it is, then my heart's in the wrong place. And I think Sabbath is about checking your heart, where you're at with God. And it's supposed to, again, disrupt you, force you to slow down and think, like, is this day for me to reconnect with God, or is it for me to just, you know, separate from society and be tired and say, oh, I'm resting on the Sabbath? Or I've done both. I've done times where I've been selfish on Sabbath and I justify it my way. And it's not healing. It doesn't. So you have to look at the fruits of it. Is it restoring me? Is it bringing God's kingdom on earth? Is it allowing me for the other 6 days to live out what God wants for me? Cause it's supposed to set me up for those days. So instead of instead of the end of the week, it should be like, I almost treat it like it should be the start. It's like the beginning. It's there to refresh you and launch you into that next week and into life.
Weirdly, like philosophically, I don't think it's either the beginning or the end. I think it's this space in between that is set aside as a stop.
Yeah.
A castle in time.
It's not the beginning of anything or the end of something. It's just stop. Which I think is, sorry, I'm not trying to argue. It's just, that's philosophically how I think it's meaningful to me.
I really like your framework, Sean, and I don't disagree. We should probably start wrapping up here. I don't disagree with it at all. I think that I'm curious, Jesse, you've kind of talked a lot already about your thoughts, but I'm interested to hear how you would, I guess, I don't know, how you would synthesize your view on Sabbath. I'm also down to share mine. Why don't I say my words? I'll say my words but I want to hear yours. Okay. I feel as if what we're talking about all comes back to, like, there's all these underlying things. Like, I feel like Sabbath is like the top, like if there's layers to I'm trying to think, I guess I'll just use casserole. If there's layers to the casserole, I feel like Sabbath is somewhere closer to the top. But then there's these underlying things underneath it. Like, I think there's like how you view the Bible, like what is the Bible, and like how do I relate to God. I feel like those things kind of lie underneath. So if the way that I relate to God is like transactional and like works based, and if it's like an employer and an employee, or like God requires things of me and I need to fulfill those things to please him, then I think you're going to carry out Sabbath in a very different way than if you're the way you view how I relate to God through like the lens of relationship. Like I'm a son and God is like, this is the way that God relates to me, is not the, you know, the framework of like employee, employer, or contract, or servant master, but instead like family. So I feel like, and that's kind of how I tend to view it, you know? So to me, I feel as if I don't necessarily even view Sabbath when I, you know, coming into it as like what do I need to do to like make sure I do this right. I feel like it's sort of like, because this is family, like God doesn't view me in that way. Like, we don't have that type of relationship. I don't even need to think in that framework, you know. So I feel like how you carry out Sabbath sort of depends on how you're like, what is my view of like my relationship to God, and as well as like, what is scripture? Like, what is the Bible? What is it, like just a book of rules that I'm supposed to keep? Is it like ways that I can get to God somehow? Which are both ideas I don't think I would agree with. I think I would much rather say that it's the story of how God is redeeming his whole creation back to what he wanted it to be. And, so I don't necessarily think, and I don't think, again, I don't think Sean, you're saying anything that I'm not saying. I think we're actually saying the same thing. But yeah, I think there's some things just below the surface of the ice cream. I'm switching my metaphor from casserole to ice cream casserole. Ice cream sundae. The ice cream.
I'm going to bring that to Shark Tank. That's going on Shark Tank.
Casserole was the most Adventist metaphor you could
loaf,
have used.
Loaf or casserole.
That's very green beans on top and then ice cream below.
I that sounds absolutely terrible.
You'd probably see it at your local potluck.
I wouldn't be surprised. If I were to to actually talk about what I think about Sabbath, because I know I've been talking a lot about like the history and stuff and then arguing with Sean. But Yeah, I don't know. When it comes down to it, we're all coming from a place, and I know that we've talked about this before, having read more than, you know,
the average, than the Adventist. Average Joe.
No, well, not even, like, I don't mean that. Like, more than Adventist authors on the Sabbath. And I think, as Sean referenced earlier, some of these guys have actually caused a far more healthy version of Sabbath in my life than anything else. And it's funny. The simplest way that I've seen it is there's two guys right now, John Mark Comer and Jeff Bethke. Jeff Bethke's the Why I Hate Religion, Love Jesus guy. Those two guys both ended up writing a book, like their own books, kind of around the same time, found out they were writing pretty much about the same thing and did a podcast together. And I know, Sean, you've read Jeff Bethke's. Anthony, you're reading John Mark Comer's, and I've watched the podcast and,
so good.
And listened
Everyone
to some
needs
of the
to
stuff.
Read it. It's fantastic.
And the reason I bring those up is because you should definitely check them out. John Mark Comer's book is called The Ruthless Elimination of Hurry. Then Jeff Bethke's is To Hell with the Hustle. If anyone's really offended by the word hell, I didn't say it. I mean, I said it, but it was in the title. So
Tahui.
Take it up with him.
That's Dan Jackson's anyways, version, Tahui with the Hustle.
Yeah, Tahui with the Hustle.
That's the most Adventist reference.
But here's the reason why I bring up these guys is because it's amazing that they did something that is so simple and obvious as soon as you think about it. But they managed to point it out, which was that Sabbath is the anti-culture thing. And I already brought up that we see that in Exodus 16, but it's the anti-culture thing in essence that what culture continuously does and what I think the Israelites were being protected from by God is you have to do more and more and more and more in order to survive, in order to be happy, in order to have everything you want. And so we take the kids to soccer practice and we have 14 different things that other things that they're in. And we have to make sure that we are on top of our emails and do everything that we need to do for work. And then we have to just keep going and going. And then even when it comes to like pleasure or play, we have to do everything we can in order to keep ourselves stimulated. Yeah. And it's just, we're not built this way. And we're not built like to do this all the time. Like, yeah, maybe you got to answer emails every day of the week. But at the same time, like there's got to be a stop to that at some point. And so that's what I think is so amazing about Sabbath is that it's the end of that. It's a stopping point where we say, no, I reject this. I reject this way of life. And I choose to ascribe myself to a different way of life, which is resting in what God has done for me, resting in the fact that he's going to continue doing things for me, that he has everything under control and that I don't need to worry. And that in and of itself, and that's kind of why I was bringing stuff up with you, Sean, about like day or whatever, because while I agree with you, at the same time, I think you can do this any day of the week if you must. It's, of course, I think best to do it on with the rhythm that God built for us. But you can do this any day of the week, which is to say, no, I'm stopping and I'm going to be with Jesus and I'm going to stop worrying and stop caring about what this world has to offer. And do what God is calling me to do with my day, whether that's let's go take a hike, let's go do something that's fun, you know, let me just sit down and read a book all day, let me sleep, whatever it is, that's good. But it could be even more than that, which is getting involved in helping others, whatever it is. Like, I'm going to do what God is calling me to do with this day and reject what culture is putting on me. And that's super powerful, especially in our world where we can't stop. And so that's what I found to be the most helpful. And a lot of the commands in scripture are built around that. Don't buy and sell. Don't work. Don't do these things. But it's interesting because I think you even see in Jesus that those things are good overall principles. If you were to do every single thing that's commanded in scripture, you would end up sitting in your tent. This is Exodus 16. You'd end up sitting in your tent all day, not even being able to start a fire and not cook anything, right? That's where you would end up. And I don't think that's what it's meant to be. So it's this interpreting, you've already stated this, Sean, it's interpreting this with God, not trying to like just say, I'm going to make up some rules for myself, but in relationship with God, saying, God, what can we do this day that's different from others?
Yeah, it's about relationship. Like you can't, it's like if you're, you know, if you're relating God to dating or marriage, like you can't just have a set rhythm all the time that may always work. Like, you need to change and adjust as is your life, your lifestyle. Like, if your schedule with your wife is the same it was 10 years ago, that might be, like, it's very, for Rochelle and I, it's very different. We've got a son now. Things are different. Yeah. So prioritizing growing our relationship is very different. How we do that effectively is different. How we manage our time, how we manage our rest and work. And so I think it's with God that way. So the way that maybe I practice Sabbath is different than it was 10 years ago. And that doesn't mean it's a bad thing. It's just knowing where my heart is at, where it's God made it for me. It's so I can be in relationship with him. And so that may look different even from Sabbath to Sabbath.
Like, there might be times, like seasons in life, where you actually keep it really in a really strict manner for yourself, where it's like, no, I'm not going to go out to eat. I'm not going to go do anything that is remotely, you know, like what I do during the week. And there'll be other times where you don't keep it in the same way, where you do have a more relaxed perspective on it, and it's more about your mindset. But sometimes you got to, you know, sometimes your actions have to set your mindset, and sometimes your mindset is in a good place. But either thing, it's about where your heart is. And that's actually why I think it's so much sorry, I don't want to go back too far, but that's why I think it's so much easier to just go back to actions.
Oh yeah.
Right? Like, 100%. I can't do this on Saturday and I can do this, because that's the easier thing, whereas actually much harder and more intensive to sit down and be like, let me check my heart and sit down with God and go through this, you know, and take time in silence or prayer or whatever it is to work through this with him. That's much harder.
Yeah. And it can be even community driven too, like with your family, right? So I want that to be a good experience for my wife, for Olin, you know, like I feel responsible for that Sabbath experience as well. So from week to week, we'll evaluate. And sometimes you're like, yeah, we didn't do that the best last, like, we feel like we're led to do this more. And for us, like, you know, that could be like putting away screens, like just get rid of the screens on Sabbath, or, being intentional about, you know, visiting a family, or, you know, beyond just church, whatever it may be. So I think, it evolves, and it can be from Sabbath to Sabbath. You look back, yeah, I didn't do it the best. And I don't think you have to fear that, right? Like, oh, I didn't keep the Sabbath the best this last week, and so now I'm not with I'm one of the elect that was deceived or whatever. Like, the fear-based Sabbath, right? And so I think what this all comes down to is
that's good.
Is, you know, as a church, if this is our message, if God gave us the Sabbath message, and obviously we're talking about how it's not exclusive to us anymore, and that's maybe a dangerous thing to say, but like, maybe it is still a very important part of our church. And let's just assume that the end time eschatology, let's say it's 100% right. Let's just assume that point and say, well, should we start with that? Or should we start with the lifestyle and talk about what would reach people and what would make it matter to people? You know, what is Sabbath about? Just the heart of it and why it's beautiful, why it's life-giving. And then lead to like saying, hey, there's even more depth to this, and explore that with people as a church, right? Yeah. Instead of leading with the evangelistic series saying, if you're not on this level, right? Like, if you're not keeping the right day, then, you know, you're part of the wrong church. There's the beast. You're part of the little horn that changed times and laws, right? And you go through the whole Daniel history and all that. And by the way, I love that stuff. I eat that stuff up for breakfast. But I think it's not the right thing to lead with. So again, even if you assume all that stuff is true and everything, I don't think we've tackled Sabbath and practiced it and preached it always the best way. And again, we're making a blanket statement. I'm sure there's plenty of probably Adventist pastors, people that it's a beautiful thing, right? And there's people that really look up to the Adventist Church for health promotion and, you know, wow, they live 10 years longer, whatever it may be. And looking at Sabbath that way. But I think we have a lot of work to do as a church when it comes to Sabbath and how we define it, how we practice it, what the perception of it is. It shouldn't just be the Family Guy blanket statement of, oh, well, I worship on Saturday, you know?
Right. I have two thoughts. One of them is in relation to what you said, Jesse, and one to Sean, even though I said as we're wrapping up, I guess, round two, I think something you said, Jesse, rings true with me. I think what you said about like sometimes in your life it may shift so that you maybe you're a little more strict about Sabbath keeping. I think I've actually noticed that in my own life recently, which is really interesting because growing up so traditional in Sabbath keeping, I think I rejected a lot of Sabbath because of that, or a lot, I rejected that whole expression, I guess, and system. And a lot of my theological journey over the years has been towards like ultra progressive or liberal, if you want us to call it that, like in that direction for a really, really long time. And so I think I definitely was in the space of like, you know, I'm free. So like rules and rule keeping, like I don't, that's not even like, you know, Sabbath is open. Like I live in a space of openness to it with God and I. So like not guilt and shame. And so I think that I was living in that way for a while, but I think as I've kind of circled back around, now I sense sort of that shift in my life again happening where I'm like, when you trace through, again, I think it all comes back to how we talked about how we weren't actually given like a more robust, like healthy understanding of Sabbath as we were developing, because when it comes back around, now that it's come back around for me, now I'm looking through scripture and I'm seeing, oh, there's actually a thread throughout scripture of like the power of the world, you know, you could call it Babylon, and the power of like, of the world of like creating my own kingdom for myself and like consuming to build my own kingdom. And like, I need to find resources to like make myself better or like feed myself. I need to provide for myself. And you become a slave to that. And then there's this pattern of God instituting within the fabric of the universe, like the fabric of the way like time works, like, no, there's actually this way that we can resist. We can resist Babylon. We can resist the way of consumption. So I think that I've like taken that now into my own heart recently. And now I'm like, man, I think I need to, I'm honestly like in the middle of it right now, like kind of restructuring, because I feel like I need to like actually rethink about some of the ways that I do Sabbath. Because I do think like growing up, there's always like going out to eat on Sabbath. That was always something that was like kind of controversial, right? And I've just done that for a really long time because I'm like, you know, I'm free. But now I'm sort of looking at it from a different perspective. So I thought of that. And then to you, Sean, I think I totally agree that I think there's been a lot of abuses. I think one of the saddest things that happens to a group of people who maybe truly have helpful knowledge to give is when you end up feeling self-righteous about that knowledge to give, it ends up turning so toxic, and you end up, I think at times, doing more damage than good. And I think that Sabbath, unfortunately, I think I don't want to make this statement that the legacy of the Adventist Church with Sabbath is totally negative, because I don't think that would be wild. But I do think maybe more often than not, like the way that we've interpreted Sabbath has hurt so many people. And I think now that we are seeing so many other voices popping up around, to me, I just feel a little sad, because I feel like, man, like, I feel it's almost like we missed the boat a little bit. Like, and not that like time is up to share, you know, with people, but it feels as if, man, has the damage been done? And maybe that's just me, because I'm a cynic. I don't want to end the episode on that. Maybe you guys have words to say, but I feel negative only because a little cynical only because I do know so many people, like friends of mine, who do feel that way. And I think there are those who are listening to this that do feel that way, that Sabbath has been oppressive, negative, and toxic for them.
I don't think it's too late, because it's kind of cool, because there is a whole wave right now of Christian leaders and Christian thought. Like, there's a church that worships on Sunday that rents from us, and they had a whole thing on Sabbath recently.
That's awesome.
And so it's becoming like a pretty normal, natural thing, which is awesome. But I do think that Adventism has a place to play in this, which is, we actually have a culture that enables you to, if that makes sense, where it can actually be a group thing as opposed to a individual choice. Like, where there is community, like kind of, we keep Sabbath as opposed to you as an individual should keep Sabbath, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
And I think that's important, because outside of community, it does lose something. I don't know if I can put my finger on it. Maybe I have better words for it in a different way, but like, I think it just loses something when it's not in community. Mm. And so I do think it's cool that we have that. Now, you have to have the right church, and that's one of the things that I hate about this, is because I know that, like, for instance, my church, is a pretty good and safe place for people to come to and do that. But a lot of places, it's not where
it's challenging.
Where, you know, yeah. keeping Sabbath is a self-righteous thing.
Yeah. Well, that's almost a whole other conversation of church. Like, should you just plant roots somewhere? Should you go church shopping for the right? But I think this has been a good conversation. I think in general, if we just look at it, like it's a deep enough topic that you should spend time with your family, with your church community, with your friends, just discussing what it's supposed to be. And, again, if it goes back to like how we talked about it as kids, like our experiences, like my message would be just include the people in your life, in your lives, your family members, even if they're young, in that conversation, to know where everyone's heart is at, to find meaningful ways to connect to God on Sabbath. And it just can't be superficial. It can't be fear-based. Like, stop doing that. Like, there's a time and place for that, like for kids and whatever, like when they're doing something wrong, like there's just certain levels of understanding. But if that's all there is, and it doesn't, like you said, Anthony, it never transitions to a deeper understanding, and taking the time and energy to explain why, then it just becomes superficial, like it had for a lot of us. So just, be intentional with Sabbath. Make it meaningful. Continue to have that conversation. Have those checks with your family, with your church on why, what it should be.
There's so many layers to this, like you said, and I'm sure we'll talk about Sabbath again on another episode in a different context. But for now, I think this is where we're good. You think so, guys?
I just have one more thing to say.
Nope, don't do it.
All right, thanks again for listening to Seeking What They Sought. If you have any questions or comments, please reach out to us on Instagram or Facebook. You can also email us at the link in the show notes. We always love hearing from you guys, and we appreciate your feedback. If you made it this far, thanks for listening. You're the real MVP. We'll catch you guys in the next episode of Seeking What They Sought.